This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Episode 4 of Jolted is out today. That's VPR's five-part series looking at what happened after Jack Sawyer was arrested last April for what police say was a plan to cause mass casualties at his former high school in Fairhaven. The podcast looks not only at the details of the case and the people involved, but at the ripple effects it has had on state laws and policies. Phil Scott called for new gun laws immediately after Sawyer's arrest, but Governor Scott told Jolted reporter Lee Elder Connors that some people are still angry about his change of heart.
It's difficult to take when people are calling you a traitor, when I don't feel as though I am. There were times when I was going into a convenience store over the last few months, and I'm waiting in line, and someone calls, walks by and calls me a traitor.
When they do, Scott says he pulls out the Jack Sawyer affidavit, literally. The document describing Jack's plans to shoot up his old school in alarming detail.
I want them to walk in my shoes and have a glimpse of what I was going through.
Do you carry copies of the affidavit around?
Yes.
How many have you handed out?
Oh, dozens.
Beyond the emotional responses to several new gun laws that were passed this spring, two lawsuits aimed to overturn the provisions of S-55, which placed limitations on gun and ammunition ownership. Here to talk about those lawsuits is Jared Carter, an associate professor at Vermont Law School. It's nice to have you with us.
Great, Jane. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, S-55, let's go over what this entailed, because there were actually several laws that were passed that revolve around gun ownership, who can own guns, when can they be taken away. S-55 was the law that had some very specific ideas around the age of ownership for guns and ammunition and magazine capacity. Can you tick through the important facets of S-55?
Yeah, so I think some of the key pieces to that particular piece of legislation that are being challenged here are the prohibition on purchasing firearms when you're under 21. They prohibit the ownership and use of the so-called high-capacity magazines over 10 rounds. They require all sales to go through the federal background check process. And so those are really the big pieces.
And the banning of bump stocks.
And the banning of bump stocks
goes into effect on October 1st.
Exactly. And so we've got a couple of different lawsuits that essentially, when you look at it, are challenging all of those substantive provisions of the legislation.
So there was a lawsuit that that was mounted in April that tackled just one specific aspect of S-55, and this was magazine capacity. What is that lawsuit? Who's it against, and what are they arguing?
Right. So it's against the state of Vermont and folks that have the responsibility of enforcing these laws, like the Attorney General and others. And essentially what the plaintiffs were saying is that under Article 16 of the Vermont Constitution, which says that the people shall have the right to bear arms for the defense of self and state, this particular prohibition on these magazines was unconstitutional. And they specifically chose Article 16 of the Vermont Constitution, I think, because really in Vermont, there just isn't a lot of case law on that particular provision of the Constitution. We haven't had significant gun laws in Vermont, so there hasn't been the opportunity to challenge them. And so I think the plaintiffs strategically, quite frankly, chose to challenge that particular portion under Article 16 of the Vermont Constitution.
And who are the plaintiffs?
So there's a whole host of different plaintiffs. Some are outfitters that own businesses that sell these guns or these clips. Others are individuals, and some are associations, sportsmen's clubs, who have come together to challenge these lawsuits. So you have really a broad spectrum of plaintiffs challenging these regulations and these laws.
And you mentioned the Vermont Constitution, and that's important because this is these are cases in both lawsuits being heard in Vermont courts, and Vermont courts can't really adjudicate the Second Amendment and the U.S. Constitution. So these have to be cases that are saying that there's a violation of Vermont law, not U.S. federal law, right?
Yeah. So there isn't actually a prohibition on bringing a federal constitutional claim in state court. But you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, Vermont courts are going to be the ones that have the constitutional authority to interpret the Vermont Constitution. And so I think for that reason, that's why you're seeing this Article 16 under the Vermont Constitution as the basis for this challenge. I think there's another reason, though, why the plaintiffs chose to do this, and that's because, quite frankly, the case law out there on these particular types of prohibitions in the federal system under the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is not particularly good for the plaintiffs. It's much more challenging. And since we don't have a lot of case law in Vermont, it's sort of a blank slate in many ways. There's really a couple of cases that we can use in Vermont to illuminate this. But aside from that, I think the plaintiffs made the strategic decision to pursue it in Vermont because the Second Amendment case law is difficult for them.
Well, and there aren't many cases in Vermont because we haven't really had these kinds of restrictions on the books before, right?
Exactly.
So that there's one lawsuit in April that specifically addresses this question of magazine capacity. And I think one of the arguments they're using is that these are our magazines, the 30-round magazines are. And the question is, are they in, quote, common use? You know, are these common usage? And guns and ammunition that are commonly used are seen as, at least in this sort of legal framework, this should be allowed. But things that are like, you know, grenade launchers are not commonly used. Therefore, it's easier to say there should be a ban on them, right? Do I have that right?
Yeah. And that actually, that line of argument that these are in common use comes from federal case law interpreting the Second Amendment. And so advocates and the plaintiffs, I think, have done that here. When there's no case law in the jurisdiction that they're arguing in Vermont here, they look to federal case law. And so if you look at federal case law, particularly a case from the U.S. Supreme Court, District of Columbia versus Heller, the court talks about that the Second Amendment, rooted in the ability of one to defend themselves, protects the right to keep and bear arms that were in common use at the time, and that the majority of Americans have come to use and have. And so that's why I think the plaintiffs are using that language. It's not because the Vermont Supreme Court has said anything about that. It's in fact because the Vermont Supreme Court has not said anything about that, that they are using that line of reasoning coming from the federal system.
So the second lawsuit filed later, more recently, really takes aim at all three of the other provisions in S-55, the banning of bump stocks, the increased requirements for background checks, who has to go through a background check, and raising the legal age to purchase a gun to 21 with some exceptions, including if a person who's under the age of 21 is active military or law enforcement or has passed a hunter safety course. So is it the same argument in this other lawsuit just applied to other facets of the law?
Yes, I think it is. And the cases at the state level that the plaintiffs are looking at or are going to have to deal with, depending on which side you're on. There was a 1903 case, State v. Rosenthal, in which Rutland had passed an ordinance prohibiting the concealed carry of a whole host of different weapons. An individual was arrested and charged for carrying pistols in Rutland in 1903. And that went all up to the Vermont Supreme Court. And the Vermont Supreme Court said, essentially, because this Rutland ordinance was so broad, because it allowed the prohibition of concealed carry under any circumstances, it was counter to the Vermont Constitution, which protects the right to bear arms for self-defense. So that was really the first case. And I think there's some good case language in there, perhaps, for the plaintiffs. On the other hand, a couple of decades later, in State v. Durnilow, the Vermont Supreme Court was faced with a challenge to a Vermont law that prohibited transporting a loaded firearm on public highways without a special permit. And the Vermont Supreme Court there said, no, this law is reasonable, and it furthers the state's interests in safety, health, and welfare, and that the right to bear arms under the 16th article of the Vermont Constitution is not unlimited and undefinable. So I think there's something there for the state in defending this law to hang its hat on as well.
And neither of these are currently being heard by the Vermont Supreme Court, but that's the expectation that both of these cases, or at least one of them, will go all the way to the state Supreme Court?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be very surprised if it's not the Vermont Supreme Court that gets the last word on that. And that's how it should be. I think if the state loses below, they'll appeal. And if the plaintiffs lose below, they'll appeal as well.
Well, good. So we have much more to look forward to in these cases. Jared Carter is an associate professor at Vermont Law School. He's also a VPR commentator, and you may have heard him in episode 3 of Jolted in the discussion of how Vermont law defines intent when thoughts and plans move from ideas to crimes. Episode 4 of Jolted, the penultimate episode in the series, is out today. Jared Carter, thanks very much for talking with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.